Hey guys, Jonathan Dorr with you once again. Apologies, it's been a little while. If you've been following my adventures, you know I've been all over the world. I've been in the Middle East, London, Iceland, Washington, New York, Phoenix, Missouri, Hawaii. I've been back in Australia now for a few weeks, heading back to the US really soon. But I did want to get this podcast down. I'm going to get back to doing them more regularly. I've been really engaged with a whole bunch of other projects, but this work I do on the weekly podcast is a real privilege, and I know that it reaches a lot of people on Facebook especially. It's been really cool. So please, if you're not following me on Facebook, you can find me there. There'll be links to wherever you're hearing this. Also, I really love Instagram. I've always liked it. Just visually, it's very beautiful. So I'm posting a lot of stuff on Instagram. I closed one account, so if you were following me previously, please come back and find me at jonathan_doyle.co. Find me there. I'll put a link that somewhere for that as well, because I love putting out 3 or 4 posts a day. I sort of do mini blogs. I sort of, you know, just sort of write a sort of mini post that goes with the image, and I hope they're really useful for you. I sort of have a criteria that my Instagram accounts are really about you. They're about trying to give you encouragement and motivation, so please come and check that account out. Now, let's get down to business. So much going on. The first thing I wanted to talk with you about is just a couple of moments around excuses. You know, excuses are such a powerful thing. They're pretty much one of the most powerful things you can use to screw your life up. You know, once you're making an excuse for something, the minute you do that, you take your power away. Your power is gone because you're making someone or something else responsible for your outcome. And I know some of you will hear this and you go, but what about, you know, the government does this and the government does that? And I go, well, you know what? Someone's making money, right? Like someone's thriving. So someone has figured out that no matter what happens, you can still thrive and get ahead. So I just want to, the reason this is on my mind is I was doing some shopping the other day. And I'm walking out of this shopping center, and there's a guy there who's got a major disability. Now, it looked like maybe something like spina bifida. It was a very, very significant disability. And he was there in a wheelchair. And this guy, the weather was terrible. It was cold. It was windy. And he had this big speaker, and he was putting music through that speaker and just singing along with it, sort of basically busking, you know. And I was looking at this guy, and I thought, here is a guy that has all the reasons in the world to just sit at home and do nothing. You know, he could just sit at home and be depressed, sit at home and just, you know, blame the world or just get miserable. And here he is going to all the trouble of getting himself outside. And, that, you know, we take that for granted for most of us. You know, we just want to go to the shops, we go to the shops. But this guy's probably got to go through a whole process just to get out the door. And he's down there. And he's, you know, he's putting himself in a situation where he can engage with people. You know, he's making that choice. And he's also courageous enough to be in a situation where he could be rejected. But he's out there trying to make a difference and do something meaningful with his life and reach people. And I was just like, you know, what excuse do the rest of us have? Like, if someone like that can make clear decisions about getting out there and doing stuff with their life and making a difference, we don't have any excuse. So I've got to use this on myself. I constantly have to go, you know, I can blame, it's so human. We all have it. Like, I have to go to a dinner tonight. I really don't want to go. It's not a place that I want to go. It's a group of people that I don't particularly want to hang out with, but it's kind of, I hope no one ever hears this. It's kind of family related. I have to go to this. It's not my immediate family. So if you do hear this, it's not about you. And I just, like, it's been bugging me, and I began to notice how it was affecting my feeling state, and I suddenly realized, you know, yeah, I can jack up big time and refuse to go, but let's assume I'm going to go, then if I give the circumstance or other people's expectations the chance to make me feel miserable, that's an excuse, and I've just disempowered myself. So I just want to encourage you, wherever in your life at the moment you're using excuses, I want to call you on it because they're really problematic. You know, excuses are just really problematic. So have a think now, you know, whether it's your weight, whether it's your relationship status, whether it's what you're doing for work, whether it's how you're going academically, whatever area of your life where you feel stuck or things aren't working, are you blaming or making an excuse that's disempowering you at the moment? So just stop for a sec. Think about that. Think of something where you feel stuck and you're not getting the results you want. What excuses are you using? It's a good question, right? It's a really good question to think about. What are those excuses? So hope that's useful. No excuses, all right? I'm going to do this myself too. Now, I want to talk about something else. Got a really cool message on Facebook. So I'm well over $1,000 an hour to do personal coaching. So if you ever want personal coaching, it's not cheap to work with me. But what I can do is if people flick me the occasional message through Facebook, I do answer them in these podcasts, which is a cheaper way of getting my services than paying for one-on-one coaching. But I got a really cool one today and I said I would try and answer it. So this was a person who has spent a long time doing a lot of courses and personal development stuff, and they feel they've really got lost along the way. And they asked me a couple of quick questions. One was about, you know, how do you stop self-sabotage? Now, I've done other podcasts on this. Self-sabotage, that's a really big question. Oh, look, on the surface, right, we all go, well, why would we do it? Why would we deliberately do something that stops us getting what we want? So, you know, people might really want to go or, you know, be in a relationship or ask someone out, but they deliberately don't, or they don't make the phone call, or they push the person away. They do these behaviors that seem to undermine what they really want. You know, there'll be somebody that really wants to get ahead financially, but then goes and spends huge amounts of money on dumb stuff. Why do we do that? Well, the major theory behind why we do it has to do with really what's called homeostasis. Homeostasis is like, it's a scientific principle about how our bodies operate. Homeostasis means that our bodies are always trying to come back to a baseline. So heart rate, blood pressure, always trying to stay in roughly the same place to keep us alive and to use the minimal amount of energy. So we evolved as a species to conserve energy because we never knew when food supply would come. And so our bodies have evolved that way. So we're always looking for that baseline. Now, you take that basic scientific principle and extrapolate it out into creating change, we're kind of at war with ourselves. There's this part of us, like our prefrontal cortex, the higher order executive functioning of our brain, which is in the, like, wherever you're sitting now, the plate of bone at the front of your head, just behind that is your prefrontal cortex. It's the most advanced thing in your brain. It's the part that can, you know, dream and has passion and ideas and can work out goals and systems. But it's working against your animalian brain, your limbic system, which is trying to keep everything exactly predictable. So really what self-sabotage is this kind of war taking place inside us between, you know, what we want and this other part of us that's trying to keep us really safe. So that's the first part of it, right? That's the first essence. If you ever feel that you're doing things that aren't moving you forward, or, you know you've got to get up and go for a run or train, but you sleep in, or you know you need to eat better, but you keep eating cheeseburgers, or you know you need to be closer in a relationship, but you keep treating someone badly. It's because we love what's comfortable. We love predictable. You know, even if predictable sucks, it's amazing. Even if, like, predictable is, you know, bankruptcy, even if predictable is being overweight, even if predictable is never having a date with someone, even if predictable is everything you don't want, we'll often choose predictable over change. So I guess that explains why there's relatively few people that really lead passionate, amazing lives. So I'm sitting here in the studio now trying to think about, well, what swings you through? I think what really swings us through is desire. Like, you've really got to get in deep connection with the desire that you have, your heart desire. So many people are sleeping through life. You know, you beat self-sabotage at the exact moment you just go, enough, I'm done, this is not happening anymore. For me, what drives it is contribution. You know, I don't want to self-sabotage because I know what it feels like to help people. I know what it feels like to really reach out to people and be on stage and have 10,000 people in the room and have people crying and moved and people's lives changed. So I have this passion and this desire to keep doing that and to reach people. So I think what drives me forward is this level of desire. So if you feel yourself sabotaging or you're stuck, I always pull people back to journaling, to finding a quiet space, finding a sacred place, somewhere quiet, and just really putting down what you want, what's your heart desire, and then maybe identifying these self-sabotage behaviors, write them down and look at them. And, you know, it sounds crazy, it's very cliche. This is about self-love. This is about stop treating yourself, excuse the language, like shit. Seriously, stop treating yourself like crap. Like, you deserve better than this. If you're sabotaging, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this to yourself? You've got one life. And stop doing it. Like, you've got to love yourself enough. You've got to believe in yourself enough. And you've got to see your gifts and what you can bring. It's not just about you buying a BMW. It's about all the people that you can touch and lives that you can impact when you really come alive. So I don't want to go on for this too long. What is self-sabotage? It's the war between the higher part of you, your highest self, your deep spirit that wants an amazing life, and the part of you that wants safety. And friends, one of those sides has to win. You know, I'd love to say there could be a permanent truce and peace, but there can't be. One side has to win. And that battle keeps going. So I have to get up every day and keep, you know, articulating to myself. Here in my studio, I have a huge vision board. I can actually see it now as I'm speaking. I've got this massive vision board with all the ideas and the goals and the plans and the images, pictures of the things I want to do and things I want to possess and contribute and have and desire. It's all here. So I fight that battle every day. I keep refreshing myself, reminding myself of what the desires are. So that was the first part of their question. The other question they had was really around, you know, sort of the deep desire of their life, finding a sense of purpose, you know. This concept that so many people have is that, you know, I don't know what I really want to do and that sort of stuff. I want to give you two things to think about. Well, I'll give you three. First thing is I often say to people that your purpose in life, here's two markers. Number one, it's something you've always been good at. It's something that you've always kind of like, you know, that you've always liked, that you've always helped people with. And then it's something that, you know, that you've always been good at, and it really helps other people. So there's two criteria. You've always liked it, you've always been good at it, and it helps others. This is my belief. Now, other people might have different ones, but I'm deeply convinced that finding purpose in life comes from the gifts that you've been given. I think God has just given you gifts and talents and abilities. You know, he's given me these specific gifts of encouraging people and motivating people and speaking. He hasn't given me the gift of being an Olympic 100 meter runner or playing professional sport or being a pilot or an accountant or a nurse. Like, these unique gifts that I have, you have them too. So you want to find purpose in life, then start looking at what you've always been good at. What's something that someone has always said, hey, you're great at that. You're a great singer or a great cook, or you're great with children, or you love pets, or you're a wonderful painter. And don't you dare for a second go, no one's ever told me I'm good at bollocks. God does not put anyone on this earth without a skill set and a gift set. It just doesn't happen. Everyone has them. They could be buried, they could be hidden, they could be driven underground from years of garbage, but they are there. So what have you always been good at? And it'll be something that helps people. What's my purpose in life? My purpose in life is to do one thing: liberate people's potential. That's why I am here on this planet. I do one thing. Now, I do that through books. I do that through social media. I do it through online content. I do it through being live on stage. I do it in every way I can, but it's my gifting and it coincides with wanting to help people. So you want to find your purpose in life, friends? That's where you look. Now, someone go, what about an accountant? Like, I go, well, maybe they love maths and numbers. You know, so many times I used to speak to high school students, and I would just hammer them and say, you know, the goal of life is not to be a doctor or go to law school unless you have a deep desire to be a doctor or be a lawyer, because that's your passion. So purpose is linked to passion, is linked to skill set, gifts, and helping others. And what else do I want to say about purpose? Look, two things to think about here. They're going to sound paradoxical. If you want to really connect to purpose and you're not sure, two things. They're opposites, but they're going to work. Number one is do tons of stuff. Like, if you go, Jonathan, you know, this is interesting, but I don't know what I want. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Go and do a lot of stuff. Go and do different things. You know, if you're still single, go and travel. Try different jobs. Volunteer for stuff. Have as many possible experiences as you can. Because often what God does is he puts you in a place and suddenly you just go, wow, I love this. I feel peace here. I feel joy here. You know, I look back at my life. You know, I went into teaching when I first started my career, and I've loved working with young people. You know, I didn't really choose that. I just, one day I was in my second last year of high school, and I got asked to help out coaching a rugby team, a football team. And I kind of did it, and I really loved doing it. And then after school, I kind of went and did a gap year and went and, you know, worked with young people and students and loved that. And then I got into teaching and loved that. And then I left teaching and went into, you know, this bigger stuff, but I still get to communicate to thousands of people. My point is that it was that first experience of coaching, just being in that place. I didn't pick that, it chose me. So you've got to position yourself to have as many experiences as possible, especially early in life if you can, right? Now, I'm married now with three kids, so I'm not just going to go, hey, Karen, I'm just going to go to Tibet, right, and see and find myself. So you can't do this, you know, you've got to do this relevant to the stage of life you're in, right? So that's the first thing. Do tons of stuff. Second thing is do nothing. And you go, hang on, you just said do tons of stuff, okay? I want you to try that. If that doesn't work, or if it's not possible for you to do that, try nothing, which means what? Sit in a church, sit in a meditation place, go on a retreat, sit in a forest, get some stillness and some silence. I could go on, don't get me started. I'll go for hours on this, right? We're a noise culture. We don't have much silence. I mean, you're probably listening to me somewhere with headphones in, right? It's ironic. But give yourself the gift of silence and stillness, you know, silence and stillness, and a journal, and just give yourself the gift of slowly allowing yourself to come home to yourself, coming home to yourself, you know, and hearing that deep inner voice, okay, deep inner voice. I want to encourage you. I know why I'm here. I'm 43 years of age. It took me till about 42 to really feel it and to get it and to own it. I don't want you to wait that long. I know why I'm here. I know what my purpose is. And once you do, I want to promise you, life is really awesome. There's such a good feeling that comes from knowing why you're here and how you can help. So please don't put this off, all right? Summary, self-sabotage is the war between the part of you that wants to be comfortable and the part of you that wants an amazing life. Now, someone's got to win that war, so you get to work. Number two, purpose, what you've always been good at and what blesses other people. How do you find it? Either one, do tons of stuff, or two, do nothing and let the stillness and the silence speak to you. My friends, I hope that's useful. There's a lot in there. I'm going to be excited again. Would you come and check me on Instagram, right? Wherever you are right now, grab your phone, go to Instagram and just search for Jonathan Doyle. I've got two accounts. One's for my education stuff. I don't want you to go to that one. I want you to go to my corporate one, which is Jonathan_Doyle.co. All right, so Jonathan_Doyle.co. Come to Instagram, follow me, and send me a DM. Introduce yourself. Tell me about what you're doing, and let me know if you have any questions. All right, so I want to see you on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook at Jonathan Doyle. You'll find me there as well. So do that. I just want you to have a good life. I want you to have a great life. I want you to have a really amazing life and bless heaps of people and do really cool stuff. If you're in business or corporate or in organizations, hit me up if you want me to come and speak. I can tailor content very specifically for certain groups around encouraging, inspiring, motivating people, helping them get out of ruts and doing cool stuff in your organization. So please, that's the stuff. I'm Jonathan Doyle. Check out the social links and I'll speak to you again very soon.